join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is No More Trauma by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
They passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. Oh, now, I never thought about this. This included in the Hall of Faith. This included in all the things that is listed that God accomplished because people had faith. That tells me faith, in order to get through this, it took faith to say, okay, I believe because God said we're supposed to walk on through this, even though it looks scary. Even though it looks like this water, there's no such thing as water being held back like a scroll. I mean, come on. This could just be a figment of my imagination. It took faith to walk through that. And I actually meant to do some studies. Okay, I'm assigning some scholars here. Somebody try to research for me how wide the Red Sea is or was. Okay, because this wasn't, I don't believe for those of us here in Columbia, South Carolina, there's a dam here that some of our members and people walk across. The dam's about 2 or 3 miles one way. A lot of people, they walk across the dam and then they walk back. I told Pastor Mars, I said, I'll walk it. I said, but I need you to drive the car, bring it to the other side. Because once you go on one side, you're committed. You got to get back to your car. I said, I'll walk one way. I said, then bring the car. I don't know how long the Red Sea was. Somebody, okay. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Pastor Wright. 100. Oh, my God. I wasn't expecting that. 190 miles wide. Okay. Now I'm assuming we're talking about width here. Okay. Because that's, they had to walk across the Red Sea. And if the Red Sea, somebody else saw 221 miles. So, okay. Let's just average 200 miles. You walk 200. So that tells me it did. Oh my God. It didn't happen in an hour. It didn't happen in a day. It may have taken several days. I don't know. And they had all these cattle and livestock and their goods. Okay. And it took all this time while they're still believing. I know I heard God. Come on. You ever been doing something and it doesn't turn around as quick as you want it to turn around? You got, oh no, but I believe God's told me to do this. The Bible says, Hebrews 11:29, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do what drowned. What they came through, the children of Israel drowned in. So when you go through trauma, you got to thank God you got out. Focus on the triumph more than the trauma. That's what Jeremiah does here in Lamentations, the third chapter, 19 through 23. Many of us, we know, we at least know the context. We may not know the context, but we know part of the scripture, Lamentations 3, 19 through 23. It says, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. He said, now, I don't forget what I went through. I don't forget how miserable it was. I don't forget how sick I was. Come on, see, you know, I don't mean no harm, y'all. All the people who, many people who are wavering about getting the vaccine and wavering about masks are people who weren't really sick by this thing, who almost did. And then some people, I had a little cough, had a little bit. Okay, if you were sick like I was and several other people, you ain't ever trying to go through anything like this. And so Jeremiah said, remembering my affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul still hath them in remembrance. He said, I don't forget what I went through and is humble within me. But then he says in verse 21, this I recall to my mind. I remember what I went through. Therefore have I hope. But because I went through it and came out of it, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion fails not. The reason why we came through the trauma is because God is a loving, compassionate God who sees our afflictions. He's El Roi, who's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And then he says, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Come on. If you went through something yesterday that was traumatic, give God praise that his mercy is new every morning and he brought you through it, and you're here to tell somebody about it. You know, I have this joke that I say. I told y'all, okay, yeah, now there's some trauma I don't have to get over, okay? I ain't getting on another roller coaster. It's something I don't have to do. It's not essential to my life, okay? So I'm not getting on a roller coaster. And so I let my wife, my kids, they can get on roller coasters. And I got the little joke. I said, somebody got to be around to tell them what happened. I'm glad I'm been around to tell what happened. I'm glad. And so prior to coming on today, but I got to thinking, you know, about thanking God for what you've been through. Glory to God. And it made me think about this old song here. Y'all, it made me think about this old song here. Okay. And some of y'all saw the movie recently. Come on now. You got to think about how you got over. For those you don't know, that's Mahalia Jackson. Sometimes you ought to thank God that you got over. Thank God that you got through. Hallelujah. Come on. All right, y'all. I'm going to get caught up in that. How I got over. So don't get stuck in the trauma. Rejoice that you got over it. Rejoice that you come through it. He turned your trauma into triumph. Glory to God. Psalm 124, 6-8. It says, blessed be the Lord who have not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare, which means the trap, is broken. And we are escaped. Come on. Anybody know that the devil had traps set for you? Some of us was in the trap. We bees in the trap. Some of us was in the trap. But thank God we got out. Psalm 124, verse 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Glory to God. Rejoice that you got out. That's how you get over your trauma. I'm not just going to focus on the trauma. I'm focused on the fact that I got out. Psalm 41:11. This is one of my favorite scriptures. I quote it all the time. Psalm 41:11. By this I know that thou favorest me, because mine enemy doth not triumph over me. Glory to God. I know I'm special to God because he didn't let the devil win. I know God loves me because he didn't let the will of the enemy be done. I know God loves me because the enemy's plans have been thwarted. It did not work. The weapon, no weapon that is formed. That word form, it doesn't simply mean shot or thrown. Form means this. It's the same word that the Bible says that God formed man from the dust of the earth. He took his time and he designed very specifically what he wanted man to look like. A head and shoulders and limbs and a core and lower extremities and feet and toes and head. God formed man. And the Bible says no weapon that is formed. Can I tell you, the devil will take time to try to form custom design people, things, situations against you, because he thinks if he takes his time to form it against you, it will be successful. But the scripture says no weapon that is formed, tailor-made, custom designed. Come on, that weapon, that trial that came against you, it didn't come off the rack. It was custom designed by the devil to take you out, to ruin your faith, to make you lose your mind. But thank God, by this I know that God favors us, because our enemies have not triumphed over us. And the weapon, the strategy, the design, the trap that was custom designed and tailor-made to defeat us has not worked. Come on, somebody ought to give God praise for that. Now watch this. Come on, let's stay with me. I told you I may not get beyond this point today. I said, may not get beyond this point. And let me remind you what the point is. The point is, thank God that you got out. To get over your trauma, you got to spend time thanking God you got out. Not keep talking about what you went through or how bad it was, rehearsing the pain, but thank God that you got out. You know, I got to think about this. And in this time, we're especially hearing a lot about trauma as it relates to African Americans. And I get it, because in this era of social injustice, we want the people who have perpetuated the trauma to recognize what was done and to take responsibility for it, or at least admit it. Watch this. I get that. But so it needs to raise their consciousness of what they did to contribute to it. But there's no good in it for us to keep reliving the pain of it. You understand? Recognize we came through, and we're not letting anybody off the hook for any trauma that has been perpetuated or perpetrated upon us. But my God, if you are functioning in life, you can't stay stuck in the pain of it to the degree that it continues to affect your life. It continues to affect your life. Okay. It's coming back to me, the definition that the Lord gave me just before I came on air today. And that is trauma, negative experiences that continue to affect you mentally in your present. Negative past experiences that continue to affect you mentally in your present. I'm sure I can say that a different way. Negative, I wrote it down, I'm looking here, hasn't come up yet. Negative experiences of your past. Traumatic experiences of your trauma is negative experiences from your past that continues to mentally affect you in your present. There you go. Negative experiences of your past that continue to mentally affect your present. And God wants us to not allow these things to continue to mentally affect us. So that's why Jeremiah said, I didn't forget. I still remember it. Okay. But but what I remember more is the fact that God brought me out, that God delivered me. So I got to think about the situation with David and Saul. Some of us will remember this. So David, he's working for Saul as his musician in the palace. Saul has some issues. He has some spiritual issues. He has some mental issues. He has some emotional issues. And David was anointed to play as a minstrel that it would calm down those spirits. That's why some of y'all need to get back to church, so you can be in the presence of this music that calm down some of these spirits that some of y'all got. Come on now. I'm not really being funny here. There's sometimes people dealing with all type of spirits, but when we get in the presence of God, even tormenting spirits and feelings of depression, all that, somebody getting in the presence of God, anointed music, an anointed minstrel, hearing the songs of Zion, come on, that caused you to shake that thing off of you. And so David would often do that for Saul. But look here, 1 Samuel 18, 10, 11, then going down to 14 and 15. 1 Samuel 18, verse 10. It said, and it came to pass on the morrow or the next day, that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul. That means the Lord allowed this spirit to torment him. The evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. Ain't that something? Got an evil spirit and you prophesied. Lord Jesus. I ain't going to talk about that. I ain't going to talk about the people who y'all be watching, who got evil spirits, who prophesy and then tell y'all to send them $1,000 and y'all send them $1,000, but can't sell $1,000 super seed. I ain't talking about the Right Direction folks. I ain't talking about us. Y'all know. I know we know better. Right. Got evil spirit and he's prophesying in the midst of the house. And David played with his hands at other times, playing the harp. Watch this. Imagine this. And you know, a good musician, he's probably into his music. His eyes may have been closed, whatever. He's enjoying the music, even as he's playing. And while he's playing it, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand, and Saul cast or threw the javelin, for he said, I'll smite David even to the wall. And David avoided out of his presence twice. Okay? So imagine you being at work, and your boss throws a spear at you, okay? Because the man got some evil spirit and got some mental emotions, and David avoided that. Come on, that's traumatic. How many of y'all going to show back up at work the next day? Even when I read this, I'm like, now how did David let this happen two times? And I believe it really happened three times, because I'm going to show you here. That's 1 Samuel 18. Then verse 14 says, and David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, saying, listen, I'm going to be careful. What wisely mean? He walked circumspectly around. And the Lord was with him. Despite the fact that the enemy tried to kill him, the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself wisely, he was afraid of him. Isn't that something? How Saul, the king, became afraid of this young teenage boy because he saw the spirit of God upon him, and he saw that he knew how to operate and behave himself and conduct himself. It made the enemy afraid of him. God said, when a man's ways please the Lord, he'll make our enemies to be at peace with us. And then we see it again in 1 Samuel 19, verse 9 and 10. And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul, as he sat in his house with the javelin in his hand. Okay. The man just sitting in the house with a spear. And David played with his hand, and Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin. Look at this. But he slipped away out of Saul's presence. Come on, somebody give God praise if you were able to slip away from the enemy's presence. But he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David escaped that night. I highlighted that. David escaped. So the first time I'm reading this in 1 Samuel 18, it looked like he did this twice. And then I'm reading again in 1 Samuel 19. It looked like he may have tried to throw that spear at him three times. Come on. Has the devil tried to throw spears at you, but no weapon formed against you prospered? Glory to God. And David escaped that night. Come on. Somebody put in the chat, I escaped. I escaped. I escaped. The devil tried to bind you. The devil tried to kill you through that sickness, through that disease, through that trauma of that domestic violent relationship, through whatever you went through. But thank God you escaped. I'm telling you, to get over your trauma, you got to thank God that you got out. Don't focus on the trauma. Focus on the triumph. Every traumatic experience doesn't have to traumatize you. When you read Psalms 23 and 4, the first part of this sounds traumatic to me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That sounds traumatic to me. It's kind of like that traumatic prayer that they taught us, that our parents prayed for us and taught us to pray when we was kids. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Watch this. If I die before I wake. Jesus, why did I pray that? That's a scary prayer. I don't know who started that prayer, started kids praying that. If I die before I wake, I praise the Lord, I'm going to go down in peace. I'm going to rise up in peace. The Lord going to keep me while I sleep. Amen. But look at Psalm 23 and 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That's traumatic. But then he says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thank God that he comforted us. And he continued to comfort us even through traumatic situations. Come on, look at another one here. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, 1 through 5. Come on, if you're going to get over your trauma, got to focus on the triumph more than the trauma. Focus on the triumph more than a trauma. Say it again. Focus on the triumph more than the trauma. Isaiah 43, 1 through 5. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob. This is what God's saying to you. He that formed thee. Remember I said that earlier, God formed us. He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. Okay, redeemed, it means to be purchased, bought with a price, but it also means to be snatched out of. Glory to God. One of my books, I wrote a book a couple years ago, but it talked about being redeemed, set for life. Thank you. Set for life. And in that book, Set for Life, I talk about the fact that God has redeemed us. When he redeemed you, he set you up for your life. Scripture says, I have redeemed thee. I've called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Look at verse 2. It tells us no matter what you go through, no matter what trauma you go through, focus that God's going to bring you out. When thou passest through the waters, that's traumatic, I will be with thee. When thou passest through the rivers, especially if you can't swim, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Come on, walking through fire. Walking through fire, boys. Walking through fire. When thou walk through fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Come on. Going through water, rivers, fire, that's traumatic. But God says, I'm with you. You're not going to be burned. It's not going to kindle upon you. Why? Verse 3, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom. He said, I killed the Egyptians for you. I gave you the land of Ethiopia and Seba for thee, because you are precious in my sight. Glory to God. No, you got to know you are precious to God. Okay? I love all my children. Okay? I love all my children. But when I think of precious right now, I think of my grandchildren. All my grandchildren, they are precious. They are so precious. You know, we got our two-year-old. We got a two-year-old who lives with us. And he got two younger ones than him. And so he tries to act like a big boy. But when the two younger cousins come around, he tries to act like the baby. So when we holding the baby or picking up the baby, he come to me. And I tell him, I say, you're not the baby. You're not the baby. And when I tell him he like the baby, then he goes, He try to lay his head on your shoulder. He want to be the baby, because everybody know babies are precious. You take care of baby. Something like, oh my God, something that's precious to you, you don't abuse it. Something that's precious to you, you cherish it. Something that's precious to you, you put it in a case. Something that's precious to you, you don't use it every day. You preserve it. You treat it delicately. You need to understand you are precious to God. So he says, verse 4, since thou was precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, I have loved thee. You got to know God loves you. Come on, if he don't love anybody else, I say to myself all the time, if God don't love anybody else, he love himself some Herbert Bailey. You need to say that about yourself. I have loved thee, therefore will I give men for thee. Know what he said here? He said, I will sacrifice other people for you. I will let others die so you can live when you're precious to me and people for thy life. Verse 5, fear not, I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. So if you're going to get through trauma, you got to focus on the triumph more than your trauma. Glory to God. So that was point number 5. Thank God you got out. Let me at least introduce. I'm going to take about 10 minutes. The next one, number 6, you got to manage your thoughts. Got to manage it, because trauma affects your thoughts and your imaginations. I got something here again that I've been studying and looking at. In preparing, as I've been meditating and teaching about this for the last few weeks here, these are my computer screen glasses, and these are my paper glasses. All right. When it talks about trauma, how it affects you mentally, it talks about you having nightmares, flashbacks, uncontrollable vivid images and memories from the trauma, distressing thoughts and feelings about the trauma, emotional distress, which produce physical responses after experiences, a trauma reminder or what we call triggers, producing negative thoughts or feelings that begin or worsen after experiencing trauma. And some of these thoughts and feelings might not seem to relate directly to the trauma, such as excessive blame towards yourself or others, loss of interest in activities, feeling isolated and disconnected from your surroundings, difficulty experiencing positive feelings, loss of memory related to the trauma, excessive negative thoughts about yourself or the world. And then there's this thing of hyper arousal. That's not what you think it is. We're talking about reactivity or feeling of being on edge about anything that may begin or worsen after experiencing trauma. You become irritable, quick to anger, aggressive with people not even aggressive to you. You have this heightened startle response. Difficulty concentrating, frequently scanning the environment, looking around. People feel like something crawling on them. Difficulty sleeping, feeling anxiety, and related symptoms such as a racing heartbeat, upset stomach, headaches, and then also can produce risky and impulsive behaviors. All that is mental stuff that happens from trauma. So trauma affects your thoughts and your imagination. It affects your thoughts and your imagination. Nightmares, flashbacks, distressing thoughts, emotional distress. And it produces strongholds in your mind. Trauma can produce strongholds in your mind that must be pulled down. There's nowhere in the scripture where the Bible says we're supposed to live with strongholds.
Trauma can either make you bitter or make you better. Trauma can bring you down or drive you up. Some type of way, we have to take the trauma we've been through and say, God is still with me. In this series, Bishop Herbert Bailey shows us how to overcome the trials and trauma we've faced and proclaim that if God is for me, who could be against me? To order this message, call 877-798-5433 or order online at www.rightdirection.info.
As we continue to socially distance, be sure to stay connected with us online. Stream our services on Facebook and YouTube, as well as rdci.info via the Watch Live tab. Sunday morning services are at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. on YouTube, Facebook, and our website. Wednesday Bible study airs at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, Women's Bible Study airs at 12 noon via Facebook Live. Consider connecting with us as a partner or an iChurch member. More information about our partnership and iChurch member services can be found on our website at rdci.info. For consistent updates and encouragement, connect with us on social media through Facebook at Right Direction Church International and on Twitter and Instagram at TheRDCI. Right Direction Ministries, transforming lives and impacting generations.